Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Rack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, me 1-4 on the Freaks, and Bo 4-7, producer and co-host of The Drive. So there's really only one big story that came out since the last time we talked, and it's, you know, not that big, but Nick Bosa has decided that he is not going to work out during Ohio State's pro day. And this raises a couple questions, none of which are debilitating. But one, does he have anything to hide? Is he at full strength? I think the answer would probably be yes there. Number two, is he unhappy with how he performed at the combine and didn't want to exacerbate the issue by putting up worse numbers on his home turf? I just don't know. I mean, I'm speculating. This story just came out, so I don't really know.
No, and that's the one thing that I really appreciate about Nick Bosa at the NFL Draft Combine was his willingness to participate in every single event. And he had the 4.79 40-yard dash, very whelming, I guess. Not overwhelming, not underwhelming. Yeah. 29 bench press obviously showed that he's still strong, vertical, 33.5, what we expect from a whitey. And then we've got, you know, his cone drill was lackluster, his shuttle drill, lackluster. You're right. He didn't perform that well. It's interesting. He's probably shutting it down because he came out rustier than he probably expected at the combine.
Yeah, I mean, it makes Kyler Murray look smart. Yeah. I mean, it's these things where it's like Christian McCaffrey didn't play in his bowl game. Oh, the uproar. People forget about it 10 minutes later. Right. Nobody's going to remember. If Kyler Murray goes down as a bust or one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, nobody's going to remember that he didn't work out at the combine. You know, that he was 5'10 and a quarter because he was wearing heels to some people. It's a joke. So this is much ado about nothing. It's something to talk about now. Yeah, granted, his numbers weren't as great as everybody expected they would be at the combine. It's like, oh, is he rusty? Oh, is he still injured with his core injury? Mm-hmm. Is that something that could be re-aggravated? Come on.
But I thought Nick Bosa was—he really, really, with kind of the question mark that he only played three games this year before suffering that core injury and then undergoing surgery. And college football is a lot different than pros, where you don't get the full story. They're not going to tell you if a player goes under the knife. But he has the surgery. His dad talks to Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback and tells him that he's been healthy for the last 8 weeks before the combine. And then he goes in and he shows exactly that. He looked like a guy as far as just his movements. And I mean, I'm not a professional scout, but you're just watching it on NFL Network and you're seeing this guy. He looked rusty. And he, with that kind of shadow that he got to kind of thrive in, which isn't necessarily the case, but sometimes it happens. I mean, look at Mike Glennon getting the deal with the Chicago Bears after not playing for years. That shadow that you could kind of live in sometimes benefits these guys. And I think Nick Bosa, he's probably going to go back into it until draft day.
Yeah.
Because of what happened. And he didn't have a horrible combine.
No.
He didn't rubber stamp himself as the number one pick.
And you know who did? Quinnen Williams did.
Quinnen Williams had an incredible combine.
You know, he did. And I watched more tape, not tape. I was watching ESPN and they were breaking down Quinnen Williams last night. And it's just, his speed, he's not as big as Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald is a house.
Right.
So he's not as big, but he's like a ballet dancer. I mean, he is so light on his feet. He ran the fastest 40 by anybody over 300 pounds in the last almost 10 years. And with Nick, going back to Nick Bosa really quickly before we jump around.
Well, I mean, and it should be important. Alabama's doing their pro day as we record this podcast, and Quinnen Williams, he's not doing any drills or testing today.
Yeah, but because he was so exemplary, it's even more of a fact you don't want to do it.
It's kind of two different reasons why prospects
don't
work out.
And different positions and different expectations, really, at this point. There's one sexy pick, which is Nick Bosa, and one who's not so sexy but may prove to be the best player in the draft in Quinnen Williams. I've equated Nick Bosa to Kyrie Irving a lot, and I think because Kyrie only played 8 regular season games with Duke his freshman year, but he did come back and play in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And I thought he had, and I was just making sure of it. This was in 2011, and he had 28 points in his last game in college. It was against Arizona that they lost, but it was in the Sweet 16.
Him? Derek Williams?
Can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's right.
2011, yeah. I honestly, I can't remember. But
Because I think Kyrie goes number one. Derek Williams goes number two in that draft
because
of the performance in the tournament.
Well, and number one was supposed to be the 10th or 11th pick, but they somehow catapulted up to the number one pick. Say what you want, it was the first year they were without LeBron.
Dan Gilbert's the first time his son
with the
Magic
bow tie. Yeah, because they had the first and fourth pick. They were slated for the fourth pick, and they somehow catapulted up 10 spots into the top three to get the number one overall pick the day LeBron said that he was leaving for Miami. So say what you want.
Right.
Okay. But at least, so if Nick Bosa were to have played, if they would have made the college football playoff and we would have seen him as the four seed,
right,
there'd be, this whole narrative would be completely different because there wouldn't be as much gray area around it. With Kyrie, he was the surefire number one because of his performance in the tournament, which brought them back a couple months to the regular season with Duke. You didn't get that with Nick Bosa. His numbers haven't been great since coming out, at least with the combine numbers. So, really, it's, we want the next Khalil Mack. I mean, that's really like the poster child now,
well,
right?
I mean, there's a couple of them, right? There's, we want the next Khalil Mack, or we want the next Aaron Donald.
Right. Well, I mean, it's more, Quinnen Williams is closer to Aaron Donald, right? I mean, he's more interior. Aaron Donald's more interior.
Yeah.
He can be looked at as an edge rusher depending on packages, but he can push over your center and your guard at the same time and sack the quarterback.
Well, let me ask you this. When you look at what the Arizona Cardinals have done pre-free agency and free agency trades, what they've done so far with their roster, just connecting the dots and following the tea leaves there, wouldn't Quinnen Williams be your pick and just looking at what they've done?
You would think.
And not addressing the interior of their defensive line.
You would think. And has Ziggy Ansah been picked up yet?
No,
he's free agent still. Yeah. So there's a couple guys like Ndamukong Suh and Ziggy Ansah that until they have a team, until they have a home, and listen, the Cardinals haven't been linked to either. You know what? Let's take a break. Let's reset before we get to Quinnen Williams because I want to talk about him a little bit more. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Thank you for the listenership. Our numbers have never been higher. We really appreciate it. We love the fodder on Twitter, whether it be positive or negative. We want to hear what you want to hear. So we appreciate everybody who listens. And check out Locked On NFL. There's Locked On every other team. Every team, every NFL team has a Locked On podcast. So we're a very tight-knit group here. And we cross-promote as much as we can. So thank you for listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. So Ziggy Ansah and Ndamukong Suh, guys that, you know, are pseudo-journeymen at this point, more Ndamukong Suh than the former. But until those two teams have homes, and listen, the Cardinals aren't attached to either of them through the, you know, through any sort of avenue at this point. But those would be two guys that would supersede the Quinnen Williams draft. Right?
Yeah.
The choice. So if they, for some reason, were to bring in Ndamukong Suh on a 2-year, 20 mil, 13 mil guaranteed, something like that deal, you would be able to pass on Quinnen Williams. It may not be the right choice, but you would pass on him in that regard.
And they could afford that. I mean, this is a team that's hovering around $25 million as far as cap
space
remaining.
Still in the top 12 or 15.
And they'll need about $12 million to sign all their draft picks. So, yeah, I mean, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. I just don't know. I mean, we just haven't seen any ties, any connections between a guy like Ndamukong Suh or Ziggy Ansah, whether it's the edge rusher in Ansah or if it's the interior guy like Ndamukong Suh. So, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if that necessarily eliminates you from Quinnen Williams'
Maybe
territory.
Maybe not. I mean, with the 3-4, you don't know if Ndamukong Suh is just going to be a rotational player
right. And
you want to ease in Quinnen Williams. I get it. But there are going to be two. There are going to be two scenarios that the Cardinals are going to face. Aside from drafting Nick Bosa, number one, there are going to be two scenarios that they're going to face. One, San Francisco is going to offer them the number two pick and a package to move down one so they could draft Nick Bosa. If they want to do that, they can get their boy Quinnen Williams at two, if that's what they want. Or John Gruden's going to go rogue, or pseudo-rogue. I use that term loosely. John Gruden is going to want to move up to draft Nick Bosa. The Cardinals will, you know, move down to four, and they'll probably get another first-round pick for it. And we said this yesterday, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, but we're trying to do this so you can understand everything that's going on. by moving down to four, the Cardinals could lose out on their top three choices, would be Bosa, Josh Allen, you would think, and Quinnen Williams.
And that's okay if they have eyes on another prize,
like a
right?
receiver.
If they're looking at a receiver, mid-20s. If they're looking at an offensive lineman, right. Because I talk about free agency and what they've done in the offseason so far. When you look at their biggest area of need, it still remains the wide receiver position, right? So, yeah, I mean, if they're looking at a guy, I mean, I don't know if. DK Metcalf.
He's going to go top 10. Somebody's going to take a flyer on him.
He's a guy that can do, he's a kind of a one-trick pony, right? He can
Corey Davis went five. Just remember that. Corey Davis went five. Mike Williams went seven.
I know, but
out of Clemson.
Is it worth, I mean, just looking at their impact so far for the Titans?
Oh, I'm not saying the Cardinals should.
Right.
I'm saying if the Cardinals get a mid-first rounder, those guys probably won't be there.
I mean, I would like them to look, you know, Jonah Williams way first before they even continue to address the offensive line.
Agreed.
Than the wide receiver position, but you're right. It has happened. It's not. It's something that's before recent history. It happened even within the top 10 or top 5. I mean, guys like AJ Green,
well,
Larry
Calvin
Fitzgerald,
Johnson,
Calvin Johnson. Yeah. Those guys were top 5 picks. And then you've got guys, you know, littered across, you know, top 10. Even a guy like who is it, Blackman from Oklahoma
State? Yeah,
that's
right.
He was a huge bust for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It happens.
Justin Blackman.
Yeah, Justin Blackman. Guys who just were killers in college, it didn't translate to the NFL for whatever reason, off the field, on the field. So, but I think it opens it up. If Steve Keim has in his mind, hey, we view this guy as our top pick actually on the board. Nobody else sees it this way. If they've got that and they don't want Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, or Nick Bosa, then that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's flaws in that as far as, like, because we've been looking at these guys, and Quinnen Williams, to me, is an absolute beast. Nick Bosa could be an absolute beast paired alongside with Chandler Jones. But if they see it that way and that's their plan and they can acquire more draft assets, more draft capital, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Do it.
I mean, yeah, well, the thing with Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and AJ Green, as you mentioned, it was not as pass happy as it is now.
Right.
So when it comes to... If you make the NFL and you're a third-round pick or you've been in the league for 7 or 8 years, you can catch the ball. What is the number one most important thing for a wide receiver? To be able to catch the ball, right? I mean, if we're going to break down, we're going to go prehistoric here. No, but it's true. So, so if you're 6'3", and you can catch the ball, you're going to have a team. So you don't need to draft a receiver in the top 10 or 15 is my point.
Right.
But if so, say John Gruden, they'll be able to give the best package. They will. The Raiders will.
Sure.
So if they want to trade up, they give you 14 or they give you four and you get the mid-20s, 22 or 23, and you have 33, that doesn't mean that you can't move even back into the top 10 and draft another impact player.
I will say this, though. There is a team that you're overlooking as far as...
The Giants?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but the Giants...
And I'm not even talking about Dwayne Haskins because they said that they're really not that interested as far as Dwayne Haskins.
So you would take 6 and 17, but that would... Or 7 and 17. 6 and 7. They're 6, right?
Yes, they are 6.
So, you know what? Let's reset before Bo just schools me. We're going to talk about this as we wrap on Locked On Cardinals next. Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Fox Sports 910 contingent here. Me on the Freaks 1-4, Bo 4-7 on the drive. So, Bo brought to my attention, because we did not mention the New York Giants as being part of a trade down scenario for the Cardinals. Go right ahead, Bo.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if I think David Gettleman has the huevos to do that. Just brush up on your Spanish to see if
that
what
means,
I mean.
That means eggs, which is That's another right. form of.
But. They met with Quinnen Williams for dinner. I mean, that doesn't automatically mean that they've fallen in love with him, but if you've been reading anything as far as the NFL draft is concerned, Quinnen Williams is not going to make it to 6.
Right.
Right? And he'd be lucky to make it out of the top 3. If the Arizona Cardinals, and you're looking at what the New York Giants possess as far as just draft capital, they would be a very worthy trade partner because not only could you get 6, swapping that for 1,
17.
You could potentially get 17.
Which would be dumb for them, wouldn't it be? The Giants to give up their what they got for OBJ?
But if they feel like they're getting an impact player, I mean, it's tougher for me because a lot of times, especially when you're talking trades, a lot of times you're looking at it from the Cardinals' perspective, especially on this podcast,
right.
And not so much the Giants. But if the Giants view Quinnen Williams as that impact player on their defensive line, somebody that they can build with, and I've seen just if you look at Carolina's draft history with David Gettleman as their GM, they do look to the to improve on both sides of the offense and defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're in line for a ground and pound and defensive right. makeup of the team now. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And you know, it doesn't bode well for anybody if Eli Manning's throwing the ball 35, 40 times.
Right.
So if that's a trade partner, I mean, would you trade down five spots and you wouldn't have the ability, obviously, to have the pick of the litter?
Anybody.
Yeah. I mean, all three of those guys we've been mentioning, as far as Williams and Bosa and Allen, they'll be gone. They're off the board. But if we get back to the scenario where Kime has somebody else in mind, Jonah Williams will be in the mix at six. DK Metcalf, N'Keal Harry, who I think are going to be later in the draft, but you've pointed out that some teams have reached for wide receivers. It's absolutely happened. If you want a wide receiver, they're in the mix at six. Other defensive linemen, Rashawn Gary from Michigan is a big-time prospect. He could be had at six. So I don't think six is that big of a reach. I mean, when we start talking about, you know, the Dolphins are intrigued with Kyler Murray, what are they at, 13, 12 or 13?
13.
Yeah, it's that's a little bit further the fall. I mean, if you can get six and then another pick, I mean, that'd be perfect,
six
right?
Six and 17, I just don't.
Don't you think you could address the offensive line and the wide receiver position in those spots potentially?
Maybe.
Or the cornerback position? Greedy Williams, a guy that you love?
Yeah,
he
I
could
do.
Be six or 17, depending on how his draft stock goes between now and the next month and a couple days.
Yeah, the reason why I'm hesitant is not because I have no problem with trading the number one overall pick. It's like, whoa, you've had the number one. Yeah, why would you trade it if you have it? Why would you relax? Okay, it's the reason why, and I've said this, and it's not, you know, brain surgery. It's the power involved in the pick. It's not necessarily having the pick.
Right.
So if somebody wants to give you, and I think it would have to be more than just 6 and 17.
Right.
Because the main goal and what Steve Keim and the Cardinals, either on mistake or on purpose, have geniusly done so far, even though geniusly is not a word, is maximize the speculation around this pick. And I've said it's been a detriment to bringing in receivers. People won't. No, I don't think so. I think they just want to go to a winning franchise. If Josh Rosen was a quarterback, I feel like people would be like, okay, you know, I can work with that. He's a young quarterback.
Right.
But Kyler Murray, ooh, I don't really know, because it's going to be run first for him if he gets out of the pocket. My point is that what the Cardinals need, and if there's any sort of legs to Quinnen Williams having dinner with the Giants and Nick Bosa being loved by the 49ers, is that's two guys that guys want to move up for.
And we're not even talking quarterbacks.
And we're not even talking Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So the main goal of having the number one overall pick is having a bidding war.
Sure.
That's what it is, because they will give away, oh, screw it. It's a 2022 first-round pick. Doesn't matter to us. Whatever. 2021 first-round pick.
Right.
That's 2 years down the road. We don't know what anything's going to happen now. We're probably going to be better anyways then. So having a bidding war for more than one guy, which inevitably could be three with Williams, Bosa, and Kyler Murray, that's where the Cardinals want to be.
Yeah, what's shocking to me is amongst all this speculation and all these rumors and Kyler Murray being atop most draft boards, it was so nice to see a draft board the other day. I think it was like Benjamin Solik that had not Kyler Murray at number one. He had Quinnen Williams. I was like, God bless this guy. God bless this draft analyst for actually having the balls to do that.
Yeah.
But if you just kind of look at what's happened, what have the Arizona Cardinals, everything you kind of just outlined, what have they been posturing for? It hasn't been trading Josh Rosen. If that's what they've been trying to do, they've failed horribly at that. I mean, if you're looking at Josh Rosen's trade value, I mean, they've completely just crushed it. So it's bumping up Kyler Murray. It's bumping up potentially Nick Bosa. It's bumping up Quinnen Williams. And we've just outlined bunch of teams that would be interested in moving up who have the capital to do so.
That's a good place to end the podcast,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's not bad.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.